Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Clearly, he didn't end it here well either. Let's go out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Albert Breer, MMQB.com, joins us here on Afternoon Drive. Hello, Albert.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. We're just trying to dissect everything around Amari Cooper. And as I was explaining to Jason right there, I feel like he got what he wanted. I don't believe his talent is just gone. But the way he played this year, it was different. And I think a lot of that stems back to almost being traded before the season got underway. I emotionally, mentally, whatever you want to call it, I just feel like that took a lot out of him, and then he never got there. How do you see the trade to Buffalo with Amari Cooper?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was really complicated. You know, like, I think, you know, between, like, him holding out in the spring, and I guess officially it's not a holdout because it's voluntary, but you guys know what I'm saying. You know, and then getting the one-year Band-Aid, getting the raise, and then after that, like the Brandon Ayuk pursuit, right? Like, and the Browns being in that. And not just, like, his name being floated in those trade talks, but also the fact that the Browns were willing to pay Brandon Ayuk at a level way beyond what they were willing to pay Amari. And, like, you know, for all of us on the outside, it makes sense. You know, Brandon Ayuk's much younger. You can see him being your number one receiver for the next 5 years. You can't – it's not really – I'm not really where Amari is in his career, you know, so it makes sense from the outside looking in. But then, you know, if you're that player, how are you going to receive that? So, you know, I think things had gotten a little sideways there. And so, you know, this doesn't really surprise me. And I think it's a great move for Buffalo too, guys. You know, I think it allows the Keon Coleman's, the Khalil Shakir's, like, allows all of those guys to settle into roles that, you know, aren't primary, you know, so now the coverage looks, they'll get her a little bit different. The things they'll be asked to do will be a little bit different. And I think Amari will have a great impact in Buffalo.
Albert, by letting Amari go, does this open up the opportunities for a Judy to be able to maybe get back to what he was in Denver?
Well, they'll need him to be. You know, I think that. And, I mean, like, I think most people in Denver would tell you they were disappointed with what he was based on what they thought he'd be coming out of college. You know, it's interesting because he's got everything in front of him now. And he's got a chance to be the number one receiver. He's got a chance to show people to the Browns that he don't need a number one receiver. That's what he was projected to be coming out of Alabama. Now, he hasn't been that. And I don't know if he'll ever be that. But there's a great chance for him to do that in front of him. And it's not like the Browns are bereft of, like, skill talent, even with Amari gone, you know. Like, they still have Elijah Moore. They still have David Njoku. And I know Njoku's been hurt. You know, presumably they'll have Chubb coming back. Like, it's a good situation for Jerry Jeudy to step up and show who he can be as a football player.
Albert Breer joining us here on The Fan. Albert, I listen to sports talk radio all across the country, and I tuned into Detroit sports talk radio, and all they're doing is talking about the Hutchinson injury, and then they're throwing Miles' name in there right there with Max Crosby. How far will this go for the Browns? Is Miles actually in play to be traded? And then what does the list look like of players that you feel like would be on the table for the Browns to trade?
Well, so here's the deal, right? So the Browns don't even need to make phone calls now, because the minute they traded Amari, given where their record is, given how their quarterback played, every team is now going to say, okay, let's look at their roster. Let's see what they've got. And if there's someone we like, let's just throw something out there. So, if you're looking at guys on that roster that could be attractive to other teams, whether it's, a Jedrick Wills or a Jack Conklin or a Denzel Ward, a JOK, I think other teams will look at it and say, is there an opportunity here to pry somebody away? Obviously, the big one would be Myles Garrett. Now, Miles, I believe, is going to be 29. Am I wrong about that? I think he's going to be 29 at the end of the season, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, so, eventually you're going to have to pay him again. So, I think it would take a ton to move on from. What if somebody offers two first-round picks? Do you do it?
That's kind of what we were debating. Two first-round picks is a ton, and that's one of the rumors we heard what the price would be for Max Crosby, and it's two first-round picks. Also, too, Albert, what happens if Miles turns around and says, I'm done playing for the Browns because I can't go through this anymore?
Yeah, so that's the thing. That's why they have to be careful about it. You know what I mean? That's why you got to kind of, walk softly on this. And I think to some degree maybe you have to, you have to be the one picking up the phone, not the one making the call. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You have to be, I think, very judicious about the way you handle this with especially him, but any of the guys that you have on your roster that are paid, So, there are some obvious things. I think Za'Darius Smith is somebody you can look at and say, there's a need for pass rushers out there. Maybe the Browns don't see him being around pass this year, and that'd be a guy where it would make sense to move him. Moving somebody a Garrett or a Ward or a JOK, that's a totally different deal, of course.
Albert, when you look at this group right now, there's still a lot of talent on both sides of the ball. They're going into division play. Can they turn this around by any means, or is it a lost cause?
1-5 is 1-5. I'll compare them to the Bengals, because going into last week, they and the Bengals were both 1-4. And if you look at the Bengals, and you guys, I'm sure, keep an eye on them, right?
Yeah. Yes.
But if you look at the Bengals, and you really watch them, you're like, their pass rush doesn't look right, and their corners are not great right now, but the offense looks good, right? And Joe Burrow is starting to play really well. And Ja'Marr Chase looks dynamite. And they got a young, first-round pick at right tackle who could come around. And, the pass rush should get better with Hubbard and Hendrickson. And, it's really easy to get to yourself to a place where they could be 5-4 through 9 games if you look at their schedule. Can you say the same thing about the Browns? Do the Browns have all those things to hang their hat on? I don't know. You look at where they are offensively. Deshaun hasn't given you much reason for hope. The offensive line's been messy in the first year post-Bill Callahan. Now part of that's been help. You're offloading Amari Cooper. The defense doesn't look the same as it did last year. What do you hang your hat on? To get out of that hole, just to get over 500, you would need to go, I hope my math is right here, 8-3 the rest of the year?
Correct.
Is this an 8-3 team the rest of the year in that division?
Not a chance.
No.
So I think you have your answer.
Yeah. Albert, let me ask you about the perception around Kevin's insistence that it is his call to keep Deshaun out there. One, are you buying that?
Yeah.
And two, how is that being taken across the league?
Well, I think you know what your boss wants. That's part of it, right? I think also as a head coach, you have to be cognizant of where your franchise is. And, you know, those astronomical numbers we went over last week, $92 million fully guaranteed in cash over the next 2 years, $172.77 million in cap charges after this year that you're going to have to deal with almost certainly one way or the other. I mean, they're between a rock and a hard place. Like, maybe you can get out of that with a year left in the contract. It'd be really difficult to get out of it with 2 years left in the contract. So, you know, I think it's sort of like one of those where you have to look at it big picture-wise and say, what's best for the franchise short-term? What's best for the franchise long-term? And then I think, like, the other part of it, and I don't know if you guys saw what Mitchell Schwartz tweeted earlier in the week, but it was really smart. It was, you know, he has to worry about losing the locker room. You know, if he keeps playing this way and Jameis is playing well in practice, do you get to the point where it's like, I mean, like, those guys don't care about your three-year plan. Those guys don't care about Deshaun Watson's cap charges, right? Like, those guys care about winning right now. Those guys care about playing individually well right now. So those guys can continue to be pro athletes and continue to get paid. Like, that's what those guys care about. So, if you're, like, continuing to do this with the same result over and over again, I do think you get to the point where you do, like, as good as Kevin is, like, you can only do it so many times before there are some very real questions being asked in the locker room. I think that that's sort of the risk that you'd associate with all of this. And look, like, I really hope that someone's also having hard conversations with Deshaun Watson on all of this. Because, you know, they tiptoed around a lot of stuff with him. And, like, I know, like, one of the reasons he was so successful in Houston early on is because they took a real tough love approach with him. They had his trust. They were hard on him. And there was a lot of growth because of it. I do wonder, are they being hard enough on Deshaun himself? Because I think right now that's what he needs.
Albert, let me ask you about let's lump Andrew Berry into this as well. You've been around the NFL for a very long time. You know that you can't go 5 years with one playoff win and still keep your job. It's just not how it works, but that's what the two of them have right now. Are they going to get basically a pass, even though they're complicit in it? Are they going to get a pass for the Watson years and things get reset, or do we feel like this could be it for the two of them?
I mean, I think the crazy thing about it is they've got a lot of other stuff right. You know, like, I just look at, like, a really healthy operation. Otherwise, it's being undermined by this one decision. And it does make you wonder, like, what would this look like with Joe Flacco right now? What would this look like with Baker Mayfield right now? I think it would probably look okay. You know? I mean, I think they're at least a 500 team in that circumstance. And that, like, I think that that's the thing that's kind of tough is, like, you look at a couple of guys who have represented your franchise really well, who I think have made a lot of good decisions. And I think you're weighing that against the pressure that this contract puts on everybody. And, you know, if you're Jimmy Haslam, it's not only that. It's not only like, you know, that, like, you're not getting better results on the field right now. It's like that, like, Jimmy Haslam might feel the pressure to start pulling different levers to try to get more out of Watson, right? And, like, if you're him, do you, like, look at it and say, well, we've spent all this money, and we've got all this money to spend on Deshaun over the next couple of years. We need to do something different. I think all that stuff makes this a really interesting situation. Again, I don't think that – I think Andrew and Kevin are safe, but it's I don't think there's, like, much precedent for this either. You know, it's just a very, very weird spot that the team is in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, Albert, we appreciate you hopping on, as always. Apologies about the Ohio State and Oregon game, though. That was we led you astray. Dylan Gabriel didn't suck nearly as bad as I thought he was going to.
Did you guys, like, I mean, like, I honestly, like, so, you know, I'm like, it's like the night of a game, like, when we lose, like, it's like a death in the family. I shouldn't say that, but, like, you guys know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
Like, yep.
I'm in really awful shape after that. And I was wondering if it'd be the same because of the playoff, you know, like, because, like, now it's, like, not every game is, like, a zero-sum thing. I felt that way still after the game. And then usually, like, the next day I'll wake up and it feels like the fall was canceled, right? And I got to say, like, that's the one thing is, like, I did feel like the fall was not canceled yet, you know? So I guess that's a positive I can take from it.
Got to love the playoffs, right?
Well, and how about this, Albert? How often have you seen the NCAA?
I still think they're really good. I still think, I don't understand how the defense is playing this way.
The defense is the problem. It was the best defense in the country, and then you have that game, and it just didn't even make sense. Did you see the NCAA issued their interpretation to restore time on the 12-man penalty? Like, they've already fixed the rules that, in turn, cost the Buckeyes that game.
Well, all right. Dan Lemming is genius for doing it. All right? So, like, it's awesome. Points for Dan Lemming in Oregon there. I love Lemming as a coach. So, like, I think he did a great job with that. B, can we, like, fly Jaden Fielding out then to, you know, kick a 47-yard field goal and win the game for us now? hopefully the playoff committee gives us a mulligan then, right? That'd only be fair.
I mean, if they fix the rules 4 days after it happens, I feel like that's almost them saying, hey, we owe you one.
We messed up.
Yeah, we messed up here. It's a dumb rule.
Yeah, well, that's college football for you.
You still have one timeout left, though.
That's it. Well, yeah, Ryan Day's got to win that one.
That timeout's sitting there in Columbus.
Yep.
Yep. Albert, thanks so much. Appreciate you as always. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, thanks, guys. Have a good one.
Thanks, Albert.
Good stuff right there. Albert Breer, as always, in MMQB.com. We'll react to what Albert had to say with your phone calls as well. 216-474-0092. Daryl Ryder at 6. It's Jonathan Peter and Jason Stanford with you guys on Afternoon Drive. But first, let's get you a McKenzie Sports Update. On the Fan, Jonathan Pino and Jason Stanford with you guys. Daryl Ryder, our Browns insider, in 10 minutes. Jason, I want to know if you picked up on the same thing that I picked up from Albert right there. On the idea of Myles Garrett, here's why I think it was genius what Albert had to say, and that's why he's on every single Tuesday. Today was an exception on Wednesday, but he's on Tuesdays. The Browns can't be the ones to call when it comes to Myles Garrett. They got to let the calls come to him. And if I go a little bit further, why do I believe they got screwed in the Amari Cooper situation and why we watched him for 6 games basically pretend he didn't know how to play football? To me, it all comes from the idea they made the call to the 49ers.
Well, I think you can take it as a dating option, right? Does the boy go ask the girl or does the girl ask the boy in that sense? And
how'd it work for you?
It's worked out great so far. Going.
As a big league baseball player, I would imagine you had it both ways, right?
Always.
Yeah, you see, like, I mean,
we could have hours and hours of conversation about those.
I don't think we need to.
Okay,
we need to.
We'll keep it family oriented.
We'll save
right
that
here
for Daryl in 10 minutes. The ladies' man, Daryl Ryder.
But yeah, the big thing there is you wait. You don't look anxious and you look like you want to sell the farm. You wait and see what comes. And who knows? There might be a team that comes out there that says, hey, we need Myles Garrett in the worst way. We'll give you X, Y, and Z and go from there.
Okay, so I look at it a different way. The reason why I'm sitting there and waiting for the phone call to come and then whatever happens, happens, is because I don't want it getting back to Myles that I was actively shopping him. If that gets back to Myles, he's the type of person I think he would take that the worst way imaginable. The same way I thought Amari Cooper, once he found out that he was basically traded, with the exception of Brandon Ayuk actually saying yes to the trade, I thought that broke Amari Cooper in a certain way. And I've just known Myles long enough. We've seen Myles long enough. He's a very prideful human the way that he operates and as he should be. And I feel like he would take that personally. And he should take that personally, by the way, if they're actively calling up and trading him. But if you have a phone call come in and you answer it and, I don't know, all of a sudden old buddy John Dorsey in Detroit's like, well, hey, listen, we called about Zadarius, but just so you know, 2 first-round picks for Myles, something we'd be interested in. And if you're Andrew Berry, and as far as Myles Garrett knows, you hung up the phone on him as quick as you possibly could, and you cursed the phone after that, like, all right, well, that's not on that. That's not on them. That's not their fault.
Right, exactly. It's another team that has a chance right now to be a Super Bowl contender team, and they lost one of their best defensive players. And for
Myles
season,
would understand that.
Right, and Myles could completely say, you know what? I've got a chance right now to go be part of a Super Bowl caliber team and change the culture up there. Never know.
When the Browns have actively sought out other players, though, the two instances I have in the Andrew Berry era of them doing that, it has blown up their face in a spectacular fashion both times. The first one, when they went out and sought Deshaun Watson's services while still having Baker Mayfield, and then Deshaun denied him, and Baker said, I want to be gone. Like we don't play that game around here. And then they were forced to then go back and offer the guaranteed money and make sure that that deal went through. And then the other one was the Amari Cooper one that we've discussed it. Like, obviously, if you're Myles Garrett, you cannot have whispers that they were attempting to try to trade you. I think Albert's 100% right. You let the phone call come to you. You don't make the phone call. More on this with our Browns insider, Daryl Ryder. He'll join us next. It's Jonathan Pito and Jason Stanford. Afternoon Drive right here on The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.